from Real Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. Time now for the People Speak program. We're taking your calls at 443-2121 or toll free 877-443-1230. Now, the People Speak.
And good morning. It's 9:27. I'm Jeff, and again, this is the People Speak. You're having a good Friday morning. We're at the end, or almost the end of February. It's leap year, so we've got another day, an additional day this year. But talking today with 115th District, if I can talk, District State Representative Terry Bryant. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good, Jeff. I'm glad to be back on the show again. It's been a little while since we've talked.
Right. I know we used to have on regularly, but I know things get busy at times. And
yeah, it's very busy year last year, and but you have a great show, so I'm real glad to be on the show today.
And we're glad to have you back on. So just briefly, what are kind of some of the topics we wanted to go over today?
Well, I think this has been a very busy week. We've been in session this past week, and it's kind of odd to say that it's a busy week because this legislative session started, of course, January 1st, but we have really only worked into our third week right now, and during those 3 weeks, we were in session Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. A couple Thursdays were canceled. They didn't call any bills, substantive bills, really, until this past week, and even that was a little bit limited. But what's been busy about it is Governor Pritzker has put some new policies in place. To tell you the truth, have been quite disturbing, and I've done a considerable amount of interviews and have been talking about the one in particular, which is a change in how the Department of Corrections is treating their offenders who actually have ICE detainers. And so just to kind of explain basically to folks, if someone who, we're talking about individuals right now who are undocumented in the country, who are here undocumented and have committed a felony. So they are held in the Department of Corrections. They do their time in the department. And then, of course, when it's time for them to either parole or to leave custody, customarily what has happened is the Department of Corrections notifies ICE that they are now ready to turn them over to ICE. But you may remember that about 2 years ago, Governor Rauner signed what is known as the Trust Act. And what that is supposed to mean is that law enforcement agencies are not allowed to hold someone only on an ICE detainer if they haven't committed another crime. That's primarily for jails, not necessarily prisons. But in the prison setting, it's a totally different situation in my view, and I think that the governor's people are misinterpreting the Trust Act. So I believe very strongly that when they have completed their time in IDOC, ICE has a detainer on them because they're going to be deported. They have committed a felony while they've been in our country, and that very often those are very serious felonies. In fact, in 2019, there were over 200 instances where individuals that I'm describing would have been guilty and have served time for murder, attempted murder, sexual assault, criminal sexual abuse of a child under 13 years old. And so what we're going to see now is the department not turning those individuals over to ICE. And it's very disturbing.
Right. I know a lot of stuff been going on in that area. I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and take a quick break here, and we will come back and talk some more with State Representative Terry Bryant here on The People Speak. We'll be back right after this. 9:37, I'm Jeff. This is The People Speak, talking today with State Representative Terry Bryant from the 115th District. And you were talking about the issue relating to inmate release and such to immigration and that. Mm-hmm. I was just kind of glancing through. I saw several references to that and the potential issues that could be created by that, you know, on the internet. So it's...
Yeah. Well, I mean, in essence, what's been happening for the last couple of years is the offenders from, you know, we have the majority of prisons are in downstate Illinois. So presently, those offenders, when they're close to being released from IDOC, would be transferred to Pontiac. And then at Pontiac, the Kankakee Sheriff's Department picks them up because they're contracted by ICE to hold offenders there as ICE works through the hearings and whether or not they'll be deported and so on. What's happening right now is they're no longer being sent to Pontiac. So let's say that they're coming from Chester or they're coming from Pinckneyville or Lawrenceville or Fianna. They would actually be put on a train or a bus locally. And that offender has the right to get off the bus or the train wherever they want to get off. And so they could easily blend into our communities. They're undocumented. There's a great potential that they could be a sex offender. So they're supposed to go and register on the sex offender registry. They're not going to do that. If they're going out on MSR, they're supposed to register with a parole agent. They're not going to do that. So there's a great potential that they could actually blend right into our small communities here in Southern Illinois. And I believe it to be very unsafe. There's a second issue that I just found out about yesterday that we're also working through, and I do want to talk about school funding and a couple other things, but this is also an issue of law enforcement. Presently, if an offender is released on what's called MSR, that's mandatory supervised release or parole, the parole board determines whether or not that individual has to be on electronic monitoring, so an ankle bracelet for a time. And they probably have been putting too many low-level offenders on electronic monitoring. And so we were looking at the possibility of reducing some of the electronic monitoring and allowing individuals to be able to get a little bit more time out to look for jobs and such. But during our hearing on this in Chicago, it was believed by both sides of the aisle, from the Senate and the House, that that would not include sex offenders or cop killers. It would not include anyone who had an order of protection against them. However, I was sent a copy yesterday of new direction that was sent to parole that basically says that anyone who's on electronic monitoring will be given 12 hours of free movement every day. Now, think about that for a minute. That's 12 hours, half of the day, every day. And there's no exclusions for what their case was. So it could be a sex offender. It could be someone who has an order of protection. My argument with the parole board was, if you have a child molester, the child molester is able to just go out for 12 hours a day and do whatever they want to do. Suppose that they go and actually sexually molest or rape a child. There will be no red flags that go up that says that that person is moving in an area that they're not supposed to move. The answer back to me from the PRB was that, well, they have GPS. They still have the ankle bracelet on, so there's GPS. They'll be able to tell us that they were there. So really, if you run that through the worst-case scenario, what would happen is a child would be molested or raped. The state's attorney would come in and say, we're going to bring a new case against this person. And great, the PRB would be able to say, yep, that person was there. They certainly were there. So I told them I sure hope that I could get to be in the meeting that you're having with that parent and that state's attorney whenever you're able to say you'll be able to be a witness that that person who raped or molested your child actually was there. And you're the one who let them out. So we're kind of fighting that battle right now as well. There's several fronts going on that have to do with law enforcement, and it's very concerning, and I think it affects deep Southern Illinois more so than it does other parts of the state, primarily because we have so many correctional facilities in this region.
Right. Right. Yeah, there are a number down here. As you'd mentioned a few earlier, you know, we have Menard at Chester. We have the Pinckneyville Prison, several state prisons in this area. So
one other topic that came up this past week, we're going to be asking for joint hearings. So hearings between this with the Senate and the House regarding the Police Training and Standards Board. It appears that in anyone that's been following some of the emails that were FOIA'd in regard to Speaker Madigan's office and some of the conversations that went on, that now federal prosecutors are investigating. A particular email stream came up that showed an individual named Forrest Ashby, who was to receive a disciplinary hearing in the Department of Corrections. There's an email stream between a guy named Mike McClain, who was Mike Madigan's closest ally and confidant in Springfield in Chicago. That email said to the chief of staff of Pat Quinn, don't let this disciplinary hearing get out of hand. Remember that Forrest, and I won't quote this exact, but this is the gist of it. Remember that Forrest kept his mouth shut on the rape in Champaign and the ghost hiring. So, of course, there's a lot of conversation going on about what rape in Champaign, what ghost hiring are they referring to? So this week in the Public Safety Appropriations Committee, Representative Deanne Mazzocchi had a very strong line of questioning for Brent Fisher, the director of the Illinois State Standards and Licensing Board. So that's the board that licenses certifies and licenses the police departments and all the training that they do. So it's the Training and Standards Board. The questions were along the line of who hired Forrest Ashby, because ultimately that email that went to Pat Quinn's chief of staff caused there not even to be a disciplinary hearing on Forrest Ashby. And so the questions are, who hired him? Why was he hired? How much money was he making? We found out in that questioning that Forrest was hired by Brent Fisher, who, you know, again, is the director. Ashby was making $60,000 a year. And all he was supposed to do was review the training materials for the Department of Corrections. No one really knows what his qualifications were. We know that he was under investigation with the Department of Corrections when he left there. We also know through that questioning that, lo and behold, Forrest Ashby not only worked for Governor Pritzker's last campaign, but he worked at some point in Brent Fisher's campaign when he ran for sheriff. So we have an individual here who worked for some campaigns, doesn't look like he was qualified to do the job that he was hired for, was under investigation from a different state agency, and was being paid $60,000 a year on a political hire. So lots of questions in regard to that area.
Right, exactly. You'd mentioned you wanted to discuss some issues with school funding.
Sure. In Governor Pritzker's budget address, he talked about what the budget would look like if the progressive income tax passed and what cuts he would make if the progressive income tax didn't pass. Now, because the progressive income tax is a ballot initiative, legislators are prohibited from advocating one way or another for that. But there are a few things that I can say about the progressive income tax that won't get me in ethical trouble. And I will tell you this, that because of the income tax increase, we have enough money to function. We have paid the backlog of bills down from $16.5 billion down to right now about $6 billion. And we're continuing to pay that backlog of bills down. We're continuing to make our pension payments. They're not always easy to make. But the reason that the governor is pushing for the progressive income tax is so that they can spend more money. We have enough spending right now. We may have to move some things around, but our spending is our problem. It's not our revenue. We have plenty of revenue right now to do the things that we need to do, but we have to tighten our belts. We can't continue to spend irresponsibly. But in the governor's budget address, he basically threw up what I think is threats to legislators and really to the general public, and basically saying, if you don't pass the progressive income tax, then we're not going to fund the new funding formula that we put in place 2 years ago. We're not going to fully fund that. The promise from the legislature was, when we put that funding formula in place, that the legislature would put $350 million a year into it until we reached adequacy, which will take us about 10 years to do. If we want our property taxes to come down, which is our greatest problem in Illinois, then the state has to begin to fund education at a higher level than what it has been funding. And we are prepared to do that. We have the ability to do that. But we can't keep funding new programs and expanding programs and expect that we're going to meet the needs of those things we've already committed to. And schools is one of them. So basically, the governor said that he will not fully fund education if the progressive income tax does not pass. I'm gonna call BS on that, because first of all, the governor does not have the authority to make that decision. That's going to come from the legislature, and the legislature is committed to funding schools, not just because our children are so important to us, but also because it's the only way that we can begin to lower property taxes. So that's gonna bubble up here very shortly, and I think people should be talking about that in coffee shops, and they should be talking about it at home, and we should be making calls to the governor's office and basically saying that it is not acceptable that you hold our children hostage.
All right, exactly. I'll tell you what, we need to take another break here. Let's go ahead and do that now. And we will come back and talk some more with Representative Terry Bryant here on The People Speak right after this. And welcome back. And about 4 minutes left in the program this morning, talking with State Representative Terry Bryant. And one thing I wanted to throw in here, Representative, is I see that you were recently honored recipient of the Inspirational Committee Hero Award to the Epilepsy Foundation.
In fact, I pulled off the road to talk to you today. I'm with my family driving to Chicago to receive that tomorrow night. It's as a result of what last year's legislation that put into place the Seizure Smart School Act. As many of our friends listening know, my husband has epilepsy. He was diagnosed sometime around age 12. And one of the difficulties that he experienced is what brought this to my attention, and that was sometimes people don't know how to recognize a seizure. There are many different kinds, and not knowing how to recognize a seizure, or if you recognize it, not knowing how to react, can be very scary to people. So this piece of legislation said that all school employees have to receive 1 hour a year. It actually kind of plugs into their continuing education, so it wasn't a new mandate per se, you know, to cost the schools anything. The Epilepsy Foundation is going to actually make sure that that education that training is done. But everyone in the school has to learn how to recognize a seizure and what to do when it happens. And then it also says that a child who has seizures cannot be excluded from a field trip solely because they have seizures, and also requires the school to have a plan of action on file, and to also give that to a bus driver if the bus driver is transporting that child anywhere. It's a big deal for those who suffer from seizure disorders, and I'm very honored to be receiving this from the Epilepsy Foundation of Greater Chicago, but that is the major epilepsy foundation for the state of Illinois, so we're going up to receive that, and it's my great honor to have carried that legislation for such a worthy cause.
Yeah, those type of things, having worked for a little over 12 years in emergency medical care, you know, I realize, you know, it's nice to, for people that are right there, like teachers and bus drivers and those, to know how to respond.
Well, we're going to run out of time in just a second, so let me hit on one thing very quickly. I think it's on everybody's mind, and how do we get Illinois out of the really serious predicament that we are in? And I think the number one way to do that is to address the corruption in this state. It drives everything that gets done. It drives the irresponsible spending. It drives the irresponsible taxation. It drives our property taxes being up. We have to fix the corruption issue in Illinois. And so again, Most of your listeners are tuned in to this program because they're paying attention to what's going on. So just a very quick update. There are major federal investigations going on right now. And I'm going to tell you, all roads lead back to Speaker Madigan. Now, they may not be able to get him personally, having given orders or his hands exactly in it, but let's face this. He is the chairman of the Illinois Democratic Party, and he's the Speaker of the Illinois House. So all roads lead to him when it comes to financing campaigns or for how legislation gets moved. So far, we have seen one Illinois state legislator, Democrat from the Chicago area, who state representative who had to resign from his position, is under indictment, and his trial is coming up shortly. We have seen one senator, also from inner city Chicago, have to resign. He will probably be doing about 10 years. We had a guy wearing a wire who's going to probably have to resign, and another one that will be having some issues going on with some Teamster embezzlement, and on and on and on and on. The feds are on it, and we're going to see some serious stuff happen very shortly, I believe. But in the meantime, I'm calling for the resignation of Mike Madigan as Speaker of the House, as well as Chairman of the Democrat Party of Illinois.
All right, Representative Brian, we are out of time, but we will talk to you again next month.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you. State Representative Terry Bryant here on The People Speak this morning. We'll talk to you again on Monday. Have a great day.